Lecture 6, Children Reveal Their Dreams Easily. Santa's Gift Program to Me, How I Train My Genie Stem Cells and Enjoy It. Lecture 6, Children Reveal Their Dreams Easily. Now, do you have the capacity to do what a child does? Do you have the capacity to disappear? That's what a child does. You put a child in the play box, in the sandbox, and he just disappears. He goes into the sandbox, he goes in, he builds castles, he builds houses, he builds roadways for his trucks, and he drives them around. He might have a truck this big and a truck this big, and both of them are equal. He doesn't consider one truck bigger than the other. He considers them driving down the road, just like they're exactly the same size. Now, how does he do that? How does he disappear into his world? Well, one-pointed. He's one-pointed. He thinks of only one thing at a time. Now, do you do that? You know, when mothers call their children, they come in from play now, and they don't come. Mothers think the children are being mean. But the children hear the mother, but they say, that's not a priority. And they go on playing and having a lot of fun. She calls two or three times, maybe four times. And finally she gets exasperated, and she goes out there, and she grabs the mother nap in the neck and says, in. Get washed up, for dinner is ready. Or she says, okay, guys, supper's on the table. You come right now and get it or forget it. And so they come in 10 minutes later. And meanwhile, she's cleared their plates off the table, taken the food away. Everybody's eaten. And she says, no, no dinner. But Mom, no, I told you. You come and eat and we do it. But Mom, now they knew that was going to happen. They really didn't need the food. They're well-fed kids, and they didn't need the food. They were just testing their mother to the limit. It was a game that they're playing. And it's a game you play, too. You test yourself to the limit, saying, how many dirty thoughts can I have in my mind and not be totally overwhelmed by the dirty thoughts? Now, Gertrude, give me a dirty thought. Gertrude, I'm sick. Right? Is that a dirty thought?
Yes.
Okay, well, then don't go acting as though you don't know what dirty thoughts are. My goodness sakes. Yeah. Okay, I'm sick. That's a dirty thought. How long can we keep saying I am sick without being sick? You know? How long can we live in a sick environment without having it affect us? The little children, they see the testing. They do the testing, and you do too. But you don't know that you're testing. You've forgotten that that was the game you played as a child. The game, seeing how much you could get away with, how long you could get away with it. And that's interesting, isn't it? How long can you get away with it? How long can you get away with messing yourself up by saying bad things about yourself? It's her fault. It's his fault. It's their fault, you know. It's your fault. My son had his friend over, and he shot his bow and arrow through the door, and I said, Mark, you fix it. But it's Tommy's fault. He did it. No, he's your guest. It's your fault. It's your responsibility. And he never played that game again. He made sure if they were doing something of that nature, it was where nothing could be hurt, including themselves. But I was terrible. I was tough. I said, now it comes out of your allowance. You go down the store and you buy that new piece and put it in there. And you see, they have to know their limits. But you have to know who you are too. Can you do it without any vituperation about you, without any anger or an unhappiness about you? Can you do it in a loving way? gee, Mark, that's probably a good shot. And you put that arrow right through that door. Pretty nice, you know. Now, replace it. But, no. I didn't say you did the bad thing. I just said you did a nice shot. But why do I have to replace it? Well, we don't have doors with arrows sticking through them. That only invites more arrows to come through them. And you see, this is what you do and I do in our life. Every time we fall in the trap of saying something negative about ourselves. Now, if you say, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I feel fantastic, I'm magnificent, you know, I'm living in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. Say it.
I live in the ideal spirit, mind, and body.
You see, if you don't correct me while I'm doing these things, when I'm obviously doing it so that you could correct me, then you're not getting the benefit. Now, I'm living in my ideal spirit, mind, and body.
I live in the ideal spirit, mind, and body.
Oh, the ideal spirit, mind, and body. Now, why make such a fuss over it? My ideal spirit, mind, and body, and the ideal spirit, mind, and body, that's pretty close, you know. Why make a big fuss? Because that's what it's all about. We are very particular. Yeah? Is there such a thing as a little white lie? No. Is there such a thing as a mistake? We chose to do that. Can you kill anybody? No. They can only kill themselves. Can you participate in the killing? If you wish. You're joining in their game, but who would want to do that? You know, none of you. None of you would want to participate in a killing. So, you do participate in the killing when you say, she's sick, and then she dies. You participate in the killing when you say, oh, that poor thing, it'd be nice if she could be released from all the pain and unhappiness that she has. Have you ever said that? Yeah. But I'm just trying to be nice. I mean, what the heck? They've got so much pain and so on. Are you silly? Do you support the negative? Do you support unhappy things? Do you support the incorrect things? You can't do that. Not even a little bit. My brother Bill was dying. And he had a lot of pain. They gave him pain pills, so he didn't feel the pain too much, if at all, really. And he was living there, and everybody was realizing he was in pain from time to time, but no more than anybody else would be. He could have snapped like that, come right on back, been with us, been untouched. He could have. But he was ready to go to his next experience, and that's his privilege. But we don't say, it's nice that he could be released from the pain. The minute we do that, then we are killing him. We say, Bill, you do whatever you want to do, but I see you whole and perfect doing whatever you want to do. If you move on to the next dimension, you're going with a whole and perfect body. You hear me? If you're moving on, you're fantastic. You're going to dance a jig all the way to the next dimension. You know? Really. This is what it is. Otherwise, we're participating in the negative. Now, if mother says to her child, you're a naughty child, you're a bad child, you're a dirty child, you're a dumb child, what's going to happen? The child's going to reflect those things. Now, if the mother says, you are a brilliant child, you are a genius, you always do the right thing, you always make me so proud of you, I'm so happy that I have you as my son, and, you know, don't overdo it, but just do it good. What's going to happen? The kid is going to live up to his mother's expectation, even though he at the moment may not be doing it. He's going to live up to his mother's expectation because that's what it's all about. That's what children do. And that's what adults do, too. But you think, I can't call a person a genius who has just been doing some terrible things. Yes, you can. You can say, my God, Fred, you are a genius. You did that terrible thing so nice. You did it so completely. You did it so beautifully. It took a lot of skill to do that. I would have thought you had taken your skill and done it on something else, but that's okay. You got the skill. Now you just have to determine how you want to use it, you know? And he'll say to you, boy, oh boy, you certainly want to give me an out. No, no. You took that path as your choice. Now, you can do it again and again and again if you wish, or you can take a different path. And you can be wonderful with your path. That's the way I see you, anyhow. I see you as a magnificent person. I see you as a caring person. I see you as a loving person. I see you as a wonderful person. How can you see me that way when I did all those terrible things? Well, hey, that was yesterday. That's forby. That's past. I see you only right this minute. I see you only whole and perfect right this minute. I see you using your skills beneficially. I see you're using your skills going down to the Big Brothers Club and working with the young children who are boys who don't have parents to help them. And you work with them on their little projects or big projects, whatever it may be. You love them. You take your skill and you show them how to do things that you know how to do. But I don't want to be bothered with kids. It's okay. Then go to the old folks' home and help them. I don't want to be bothered with those old coots, you know. Well, then go to the Mothers Without Fathers Club. No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be with losers. Well, what do you want to do? I want to go fishing. All right. You're going to go fishing. What are you going to do when you're fishing? Are you going to fish for the best fish? Are you going to fish for the fish that you want to catch? Now, are you any good at it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm a good fisherman. Well, do you think that you could teach someone else to be a good fisherman? Could you teach me? I'd like to learn how to fish. Oh, I don't want to have you along. You don't know how to fish. Well, who are you going to take along? Me. Just me. Okay, go ahead. Do you like yourself? When I'm fishing, yeah. Well, then maybe that's what you should do. Get a boat and stay out there in the lake and fish. And have a good time. Well, no, what are you trying to make a fool out of me? No, no. No one can make a fool out of us, only ourselves. And you have not made a fool out of yourself. You have just shown you have so many talents. And when you start sharing your talents with yourself and others, then you feel good about yourself. But when you don't, then you don't feel good. No. We, you and I, do not have the privilege of seeing anyone being bad or making mistakes or doing something wrong. For if we ever judge, we're judged. If we ever judge, that means we put that concept in our mind in that negative framework of not being right. We want to have everything in our mind in a positive framework of being right. That's what little children do. Little children put everything in a positive framework of being right because that's what they only think about. A child disappears in his playtime. He goes into his sandbox and he lives in the world of what he's doing. Now, if a child has a lot of anger, a lot of vituperation about him, he's going to take his truck and go bam, 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 you know? And his mother looks on and says, isn't that cute? Isn't that cute? Look at how he's driving his trucks and doing this. And his playmate, me, looks in there. And I say, Teddy, man, you're a good driver. I bet you could drive all over the world and never scratch your car because you drive so skillfully, so beautifully. Well, banging the cars is half the fun. No. That you can only do once. Once you banged it, you banged it. Now, I like driving with skill so that I can drive away from any other car. I can drive wonderfully. And I never touch another car. I am known as a skillful driver. I'm known as a perfect driver. Are you a perfect driver? Yeah, sure, of course I am. Well, then a perfect driver drives and never hits anything else. But it's fun to bang them. No, it's fun not to bang them. Anybody can bang them. Any stupid jerk can bang them. But an intelligent person like you and like me, we drive with skill. We drive with great skill, and we never bang our cars. Now, I'm playing it up to you, okay? We never bang our cars. We never bang our cars. We never bang our cars. We never bang. We drive skillfully. We drive skillfully. We drive skillfully. Pretty soon, we never mention banging the cars. We drive skillfully. We drive skillfully. Now, he's living in that world of driving skillfully. And he drives his car so smoothly all over his many routes in the mountain. And here is a two-lane come, and a big old semi-trailer coming up here, and he's driving here. So he knows the semi-trailer needs help because it's got a chug-a-lug, and he's got a little sports car. So he takes his little sports car and pulls it off to the side of the road so the semi-trailer can come up there and drive smoothly. And then he eases back onto the road and continues on drum. And I tell him these stories. And I say, man, you got skill. You're driving with like a genius. You're great. Oh, it's so nice to ride with you. I feel so comfortable riding with you because you're driving with such skill, such beauty. Doom da 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 doom. Moment after moment after moment, after day after day, after hour after year. And the kid becomes a skillful driver. What is the rule in Switzerland? The rule in Switzerland is everyone who drives a car in Switzerland is a skillful driver, a careful, loving, skillful driver. In Switzerland, if you laugh, I'm going to shoot you. In Switzerland, they do not have any auto accidents. They do not have any auto accidents. They have incidents where people crash their car into somebody else, but they chose to do it.
What?
That's right, they chose to do it. Why did they choose to do it? They might not have been paying attention. They might have driven beyond the speed that they could control the car. They might have driven in an unskillful manner. Now, did they have me working with them as they were a little child, learning how to drive skillfully? Well, Herb, what do you mean you learn how to drive skillfully? I mean, you're not teaching this person to drive a real car. They're driving a pretend car.
That's right.
What is it to shift gears? What is it to put on brakes? What is it to do all these things? It's just an attitude. He's driving his car, and I say, okay, now brake her back a little bit. So he puts on the brakes mentally. He's not in the car. It's not big enough for him to get into it, you know. So mentally, he puts on the brakes. I said, okay, now, you're ready to pass. Now, gun it, because you got to get around here before the next car comes up over the hill there, if you're going to pass this guy, or unless you sit behind him and wait another hill. You know, no, I'm going, vroom. And away, don't stop and think. Don't think, is he going to come? He said, if you're going to pass, pass, move it. And, oh, but I got to go 80 miles an hour, and it's only a 50 mile an hour zone. That's okay. If you're going to pass, pass. Now, is it right that you should pass, or should you drive behind him? You see, and to talk about, well, it was a 50 mile an hour zone. I shouldn't have driven 80. Well, how fast was your truck going? 20 miles an hour? Well, that sort of encouraged you to pass it, didn't it? Well, yeah, but it's still, I shouldn't go 80. See, he is telling himself these rules. He is knowing them. The sign is posted there in our consciousness or our fact. And so he's learning to do these things in a proper, beautiful way. He's learning to be very sensitive and caring and wonderful in everything that he does. And I don't say, you should do this, you should do that. I just say, hey, this is a skillful driver. Are you a skillful driver? Every Swiss is a skillful driver. They drive beautifully, perfectly, every time. Wherever they go, they're skillful. Are you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you a skillful driver?
Yes.
What do you mean, yes?
Yes.
Yeah.
I am.
Mm-hmm. And you? Are you a skillful driver?
Yes.
A little hesitation there. Are you a skillful driver, Ellen?
Yes.
Are you a skillful driver?
Yes, I am.
Are you a skillful driver?
Yes, I am.
There you go. There, we have skillful driver. Rex, are you a skillful driver? Yes, I am. I only ride with skillful drivers. Now, what's this child doing as he disappears into his playtime? when you tell him he's driving his truck or his car, whatever he's driving, and you tell him, you are a skillful driver, will he always drive skillful all the years of his life? Yes. When you tell him that he builds good houses, and then you tell him the story about the three little pigs, remember? The one little pig says, I'm going to build a house for myself. And he built it out of straw. And the wolf came along and blew it down. And he ran to his brother's house, who had a house of sticks. And he thought, I'll be safe here. And the wolf came along and blew the house down. And so they both ran to their brother's house, who built a house of brick. And the wolf blew and blew and blew, and the house didn't blow down because it was built solid. Well, now, telling stories like that, it's a good story. And you're not talking about how terrible the wolf was. The wolf was just looking for supper, that's all. It's not terrible. But the pig who built the house of bricks built it to be secure and to last. He built it on a good foundation. Remember? Remember the house built on the sand? What happened? The house was built, it's in the Bible, the house was built on the sand, and the rains came and washed it away. But the house that was built on the stone, with a solid foundation, withstood all the elements and was well built. Now, you see, these are little stories that you have in your consciousness. You make them up if you don't have them. And you tell them to these children and let them be their lodestone. The little stone that helps them to have values and to help them to think good thoughts and do good things. See how that works? So, children disappear in their playtime. And where are they disappearing? Are they disappearing into being a genius or into being a scoundrel? It's up to you. How you create them as their sharer, their mentor, or how you create them as your own person. I only surround myself with beautiful children. So now, a child gives no explanation for what he's doing. Can you imagine a child explaining to his mother and father what he's doing? I'm building a house, you know. Well, you're playing in the sand, kid. What do you mean you're building a house? I'm building a house. I'm building a fancy house. It has stained glass windows in the front. The light comes through and lands on the floor and dances all over and making pretty pictures. He sees it. I'm building a house that has three parapets. One parapet for me, one parapet for my sister, and one parapet for my brother. So we can shoot at each other from the parapet. You know what a parapet is? A parapet is a armory type thing at various places along the wall of the castle. And you can get behind the stone and put your gun or your arrow through it and shoot at the enemy coming at you. Well, the parapets that I'm speaking about also have a roof over it so that we can play up there when it's raining or snowing or anything. And each has their own parapet. So, now, can you visualize having fun and things like that? Can you visualize doing it? And then what would we do? Christina? We want to communicate with each other between parapets. What would we do?
Make a cable car? Yes, from one place to
another. We didn't want to travel. We wanted to communicate, not move. You're correct in a way. Now, anybody?
Moxon.
What?
Moxon.
What?
How you call Moxon? Moxon.
Morse
lights,
code?
Light sign.
Oh, you flash a light. Anybody else? You take a can of beans, and you eat the beans, and you put a hole in the can, you tie a string to it, and then pull the string taut, and they put one string to a can to their ear, and you talk to them, and then they put it to their mouth, and you put the can to your ear, and they talk, and you can hear each other.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. This is what, you know about that, don't you, Gertrude? Yeah. Why didn't you say it? Yeah. But isn't that how they communicate? Yeah. They would be able to do that. No. Where do kids get these ideas?
They're universal.
Hmm?
They're universal. they are universal.
Oh, yeah, these ideas are universal. Yeah. And so these kids know it. They just know it. And there's not somebody who teaches them. Oh, perhaps some person will come along and tell them, but they know it for themselves. Because they have the string, they have the cans, they have all these things. They're always practicing, being geniuses, being living and following what their genius says, and listening to the genie within, and knowing what the genie says. What does the genie say?
Your wish is my command.
Your wish is my command. And they hear that. They do. They know about that. Now, that's the kind of thing that we would like to have. Have your wish is my command. And know that that's the way those things work out to be. And when they are, then that great things happen. So, on we go. Okay. A child gives no explanation for what he's doing. He just does it and has fun. Now, a child delights in his unseen friends and his unseen environment. Now, how many of you have ever been little girls? Well?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, did you ever have a tea party?
Yes.
Without tea?
Yes.
Without cake?
Yes.
Or a mud cake party? Or a party? And did you ever have a number of people, maybe just one, or a number of people around your little table, and there was nobody there as far as anyone else could see? Mm-hmm. Now, you were really spaced out, weren't you? You really lost your marbles.
No.
No, why not?
That was very normal.
It was very normal to sit there having tea with no tea in your teapot with kids, with the people who were not there.
Yeah.
Very real.
No second thoughts about it.
Well, did you ever explain to your parents who they were?
No.
No. Why didn't you explain? Because they wouldn't understand, would they? And they were your friends. Now, were they real?
Yep.
Do you still have friends like that occasionally? Do you still talk to people who are not there? You know? We all do that. We talk to people who are not there. Oh, Ellen, I'd like a cup of tea. And if you have time, fix it up for me. I'm waiting for that tea, you know. And I sit there waiting. And then I go in the kitchen, no Ellen. And I say, well, for goodness sake, she didn't hear me. So I make the tea myself. And I tell Ellen later, I say, Ellen, I was talking to you, and I asked you to make me a cup of tea, and you didn't do it. You weren't even there. Well, I wasn't even there when you were asking me. I wasn't even there when you were first arriving at the house. I was in town. I just got back. What do you mean you were talking to me? I wasn't around anywhere. But I was talking to you. You were in my mind. You were in my heart. You were in my thought, you know? Now, is that strange? No. Why is that not strange? Because I can communicate with her anyway. Now, I told you stories about talking with Rex. We're walking along the path, and I say, Rex, catch up to me. And he catches up. And Gus, my little schnauzer years ago, he'd run into the bushes. I never had him on a leash. He'd run into the bushes. There were coyotes and foxes and everything else around. But nobody ever bothered him because I wrapped him in my pure white light of love. And he'd run in the bushes, and I would think to myself, okay, Gus, come on, where are you? And he'd come out ahead of me. He'd be ahead of me someplace, never behind me. Because he was probably running along parallel with me. But he heard me consciously and came. And this happens all the time with Rex. Rex, I just speak to him, and he's next to me, next thing I know. Now, if I ever doubt, then he's not there. Rex, are you listening to me? No. I can tell. I know. You know, too. So, a child delights in his unseen friends and his unseen environment. Now that's really quite an wonderful experience, isn't it? To have unseen friends and an unseen environment. Now, a child plays for himself alone. Now that's what the name of the game is all about. A child plays for himself alone. Whatever he does is for himself. It has nothing to do with anybody else. It has nothing to do with anything anybody else wants. He does it for himself. Now, what about you? Do you do things for yourself alone? Are you doing things to impress other people? When you take a trip, do you feel you have to send postcards back to people and tell them about your trip? When you are visiting friends and then you return home, do you feel you have to call your friends after you get home? I got home safely and everything's okay now. I'm home again, you know. Do you do that? Boy, are you sick, you know. To do that means that you're possessed by your friends' attitudes. Now, I never call and tell when I arrive or when I leave or anything, because I figure, what difference does it make? I'm gone. Once I'm gone. Once I leave the house, I'm gone. Once I'm on my way, I'm gone. Even if you drive me to the airport, I'm gone, you know. And then I travel, and then when I get there, I don't call. Other people call for me sometimes about me. And they say, well, Herb's here. Oh, did he arrive all right? No, he didn't arrive all right. He's dead and he's got problems and, you know, and my goodness sakes, did he arrive all right? You see, little children don't do that. Little children aren't worried. They're not worried that their mother and father will be worried because they don't have worry in them. We might learn how not to have worry in us. That's a beautiful thing, not to have worry. It's a beautiful thing to just flow with whatever the world teaches us and shares with us and is with us, because that's what it's all about. Now, are you ready for that kind of a life? Okay? If you're ready for that kind of a life, then start playing games like children do. Now, tonight, we're going to have supper. You know that. And when we have supper, I would like to have each one of you tell me of some little game that you have played between now and supper time. What is the little game that you played? You tell me then. But what's the little game that you played? Did you play with your toy cars? Did you drive skillfully? Did you make tea for your friends? Did you invite somebody over? Did you ask Rex to sit down and join you? Right, Rex? Did you tell yourself that you're a happy person? No? What did you do? But think of it. And you, at supper time, I won't ask you, tell me. You tell me what game you played and who you played it with and how real was it to you. Now, if I say to Gertrude, you are now sitting in you're sitting in Martin's home. I was trying to say his wife, Ophelia. Ophelia?
Olivia.
You were sitting in Olivia's home at her table with Martin and Jean. And as you're sitting there, she comes out and she says, Gertrude, I have made your very favorite special food. Now, what would she make? Quickly.
Meat.
Yeah, meat. What kind of meat?
Lamb.
Lamb. Okay, she makes some lamb for you, some lamb.
And potatoes and vegetables.
Potatoes, vegetables, and lamb. Okay, so you sit down at the table, and she puts a spread before you of potatoes, lambs, and vegetables, and wine, and beer, and schnapps, and and everything else under the sun. And who else is there? Are the two kids there?
Yes.
Is Martin there?
No. Yes.
Yes. This is in your thinking. Now, is Martin dressed up in a nice suit and nice clothing? That is sport clothing.
Cameroon suit.
Oh, it's Cameroon suit. Oh, whoo, whoo. Yeah. Is he naked underneath there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. He's in his Cameroon suit. Okay. Now, Is he sitting there letting Olivia serve him?
Yes.
And is she serving him with all her love?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And what are the kids saying to their stepfather?
I love you.
I love you. Do they each come and give him a big hug?
Yeah.
And do they want to sit on his lap?
No.
What do they want to do?
They sit.
To show love.
Yeah.
They what?
They show love. They,
I gave you the word. I want you to give me your word.
They
sit at his side.
Yes.
At his side, yeah.
Next to him. Next.
Right next to him.
Yeah.
Nachbar him. Okay. So they sit next to him. And what do they do? Do they eat with him?
They eat with him. Not Olivia. She ate actually never at the table with us.
Hey. This is your creation.
Yeah.
This is your creation.
Oh, then she sits also there.
Yeah, then she sits with you.
Yes.
Now, then she sits next to you. Yeah. And everything's on the table. All you do is eat.
Yeah.
Now, does Olivia sit and enjoy it?
Yes.
Does she think this is wonderful to sit with my family?
Yeah.
Does she think I'm part of the family now? I have not separated myself from the family.
Yes.
Now, you see, these are things that you put in your consciousness so that when next Martin has a flame, that he makes the flame into the proper fire. If he has his new love sit away from him, serve him, be a slave to him, not be peer with him and one with him, it won't last, will it? Will it? It can't last. Who wants to be a slave, really? So, Olivia was a slave. Yeah, but she made herself that way because that was the way she was trained at home. Olivia never felt that she was worth anything because she knew she was good, but she knew all these things, but she always wanted to be worthy of being married to Martin. And she never thought she was worthy of being married to him because she never thought she could really be a peer with him and equal to him. Now, you create in your world Martin with Olivia as an equal. And then from then on, every woman in his life is an equal. Not someone who makes him happy or sad. Someone who's an equal. Now you see, this is the game that you're going to play, if you wish. And as you play this game, then you have real results taking place. And this is a game that perhaps you want to play with somebody else too. Who is that?
Miss Adrian.
Try Sabrina. And Adrian. But Adrian doesn't eat with the family. He doesn't sit with them. He doesn't do things with them either. But of course, you didn't either. As they were growing up, sometimes you'd be together, you'd feed them as they came in and out, you know. And you want to build up this family solidarity. This family togetherness which comes around the table. You see, this is what happened to the Agabawas. They all ate separately.
Yes.
And when we were there, they ate together. That was the first time they ate together as a family. Otherwise, they all ate separately.
Each one cooked their own meal.
Yeah. And the kid would be sitting at a separate place away from the table so he wouldn't bother them, you know. But see, you want to build your story into the most beautiful experience of your life. Take an experience that was touching you in some negative way and turn it around. Turn it around. Each one of you do that. Take some experience that might have been touching you in a negative way, turn it around and tell us the story of how it is now. Don't say how it was, but how it is now and how happy you are about it. Yeah?
Is that what we do this evening, or is that something else?
At supper time, you tell me this.
Ah, okay, so.
Yeah, I don't tell you anything more about it.
Okay.
You tell me.
That was an example.
Whatever each one of you want to do.
Okay.
Maybe she's got another one. Maybe she wants to use somebody else. Maybe she wants to You see, but what I'm having you do, I'm having you make a party. I'm having you make a game. And I'm saying, all is a game, and I play it by myself, in myself. And that's what you want to do. Play it by yourself and in yourself. But do it. It's a lot of fun. And it has some great results. Now, I'm not going to ask you who you're going to use, but Sylvia, who might you use, you know? Which person in your life that you want to have a different relationship to, a different remembrance of, you know? Could be a passing person. It could be a person of your family. It could be anything. Same with you, you know? And same with you, all of you. Who in your family, who in your world would you like to have a tea party with and have a nice tea party with? Okay? Okay. Well, think about that. Children reveal their dreams easily. And I want each one of you to pretend that you are a child and that you're revealing your dreams easily, because that's a lot of fun. Okay, now, we have come to our time that we're supposed to separate here. And it is 4:15, we're a little later. And at 4:45, Sylvia and I are going to sit in the Hermitage and chat. Excuse me, Christina. See, it's a good thing you guys keep me track. Christina and I. Hi, Christina.
Hi.
You know your way?
Yes.
Okay. So at 4:45, we get together. Okay? And tomorrow, we have lecture 7, 8, and 9. 7, I powerfully visualize my stem cells. 8, playing with the illusion of Santa Claus. And 9, playing with the illusion of perfect health. Now, we're going to have a lot of fun. And we're going to do a lot of interesting things. And I want you to be wide awake and full of life and be ready for this magic that's going to come your way. Because I know you can do it.
Yeah.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you. I love you.
I love you.